Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, right? Like, we started filming. Feels good.
Your energy just went way up.
Because I get I just get excited to talk to you about movies and stuff, Ian.
Yeah.
It's like the highlight.
I'm excited to talk to you about movies.
Highlight of my week.
Especially since this month on Reaction Shots, we're talking about, is it your favorite genre? Or
heists?
Just one of your favorite genres?
Ooh. It's close. Between heists and like a good demonic horror.
Sure.
It's like,
has there ever been a demonic horror heist?
Ninth Gate, I guess, yeah.
Sort of.
End of Days, is there any like heisting in that? I don't know.
Man. Let's find it. Chat.
The comments will let us know.
Let us know, yeah. Let us know in the comments if we're forgetting a very obvious demonic heist film. There has to be an anime.
There's gotta be. Whatever it is, I'm in.
I think there are various vampire mythologies where they have to like go in and like get Dracula's
steal some blood or something.
Anyways, before we jump all the way into heists, though, real quick, is there anything that you saw in the last month that you liked?
Yes, last night.
Lay it on.
Better Call Saul.
Oh, season came back now.
Yep.
Is it
the premiere of season four. Is so good.
It's good?
Just the best. It's so comfy and cozy to watch, but somehow so brutal and raw. You know, like Saul is a warm blanket for me, and Kyle will agree. You know, Kyle and I talk about it daily. Kyle agrees it's kind of just like this warm blanket, but it's also such a heavy and hard show to watch, you know, because people are monsters, people are doing bad things.
Yeah,
it's kind of a downer, but they still somehow know how to make it light, just because Bob Odenkirk is hilarious, you know.
I saw season one.
Season one is great, but by far the worst season.
Really?
Yeah, they take it to another level.
I don't think I saw any of seasons two or three. So
gets
maybe
so
I should hop back on board.
Yeah, you will not be disappointed, Ian.
Yeah.
I promise you. So good.
Sweet.
So yeah, it was just the first episode, but already back with a bang.
Anything else that you saw?
Caught up on my Marvel, finished Luke Cage, finished Cloak and Dagger, which referenced each other, which was really cool. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. I didn't expect that from Cloak and Dagger. They've been referencing like Roxxon Oil Company, which is a big part of like Agent Carter and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daredevil.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, cool, Roxxon. But then they just straight up called out Misty Knight from Luke Cage.
Okay.
And then in an episode of Luke Cage, they called out O'Reilly from Cloak and Dagger. So it was like, I like this.
Reciprocity.
Yeah. So it was cool. both shows were good. I feel like Luke Cage, like Netflix, you know, just a little too long.
Yeah.
Kind of dragged.
I mean, I watched the first couple episodes and I was just like, I can't with this.
It's
just too slow.
It's so slow.
That has one of my, I think I've talked about this before, but like the beginning of the Luke Cage series has one of my least favorite tropes in like the retired action hero kind of subgenre or like mutant genres, where it's like, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, we all know you're gonna do it. Just
and
skip to the part where you're doing
they
it.
They also,
I'm tired of it.
Ian, like halfway through season one, they have the trope of he's the invincible immortal guy, but they find a way to damage him and weaken
Kryptonite.
Him. And he's gotta like take a few episodes to recover. You know, it's
Oh right, yeah.
Season two I liked, I think, a little more.
Of Luke Cage.
Yeah. Really good villain. Mariah is so good. But yeah, just a little too long. And then Cloak and Dagger I really like too.
Wow.
And that was only 10 episodes, so that was...
Sure.
And it was weekly. It's on like Freeform, so it's you know, easy to kind of stay up on. And
Is Runaways coming back?
Runaways is coming back at some point this year. Iron Fist is on in September, September 7th. And then Daredevil as well is confirmed for this year. And
man,
I think that's it for Marvel this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And then lastly.
Okay.
Last one. Finally watched it. I'm a little late to the party. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Dude, creator of Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Un- unbelievably good. Watch it tonight, Ian. Okay. It's so good.
I think tonight I might be finishing The Expanse finally.
Nice. Okay. So do that. Do that.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Priorities.
Mrs. Maisel coming in. Nice, cool 8 episodes. It's on Amazon Prime. I didn't like the poster and the name of it. I think that's why I stayed away.
But then you saw that Tony Shalhoub was in it.
Well, then I realized that she wants to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And that's the whole angle of the show, is her trying to be a comedian.
Right.
And it's just...
I heard she does some, like, funny things to get noticed or something. I don't really know anything about the show, but...
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything. Just, it's super, super good. Easy, easy watch. Funny, pretty funny.
When are you going to hop on the Patriot, dude, or just Patriot from Amazon?
No, none of them caught up on my Marvel. Patriot.
Get on
next.
It.
Yeah,
don't sleep on Patriot, man. Okay. I'm a convert.
I
Terrible
promise
title.
You I will watch it.
You will love it.
I promise you.
Yeah, I am confident that you will love it. You know? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me think.
That's it.
I think we talked about Sorry to Bother You last month, or did we not?
I don't think so.
I saw Sorry to Bother You. That was a cool movie.
Is that with Joaquin? Phoenix?
No. This is it's in theaters right now.
Okay.
It's the guy from Get Out is the main guy, but
nice.
not the main guy of Get Out, the guy who says
Get out. Dude from Atlanta.
Yeah. He's in Sorry to Bother You. Nice. I feel like maybe we talked about it last month, but that
maybe
movie is really good.
Okay.
I finally did, actually. Yeah, I finally finished Legion season 2.
Nice.
Can't remember if we talked about that.
Whoa, you finished just now?
Not like right now, but like a week or two ago.
It's just you weren't feeling it, or you were just busy?
I watch it with Omar, my roommate, and like we're both incredibly busy and have kind of different schedules. So like there are just weeks where I just like don't see Omar, you know, because like he's already in bed by the time I get home from whatever.
Yeah.
Similar case with The Expanse is like we just haven't. But I don't want to spoil anything, but the way that Legion season 2 ends, pretty intense.
Okay.
Like. That show is very interesting. It's like, I don't know if you would like it or not.
I finished season 1.
Yeah.
Caught up on season 1.
Okay.
So
season 2 is very, I liked it more.
Okay.
There weren't any, like, I think season 1, like, episodes 6 and 7 were, like, bad.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, bad might be harsh, but just kind of, like.
Redundant.
Spinning the wheels.
Yeah.
A little. But maybe I'm just acclimated to the fact that the show is more like a mood piece than an actual story. So,
okay.
Because season 2, there are definitely some episodes where nothing advances the plot, but it's just kind of like a vibe.
Cool. That's sometimes it's all you need.
Sometimes it's all you need. That one was good. I watched on the plane, not but 2 days prior, Barry. The first 2 episodes
of Barry.
Dude,
Barry. I need to finish Barry, man.
Yeah. I want to say I liked it. It didn't grab me fully.
Okay.
But what?
I also watched the first 2 episodes, and everyone respects spoilers so hard when it comes to Barry. 4 different humans, including Kyle Bossman, I've told them I've watched the first 2 episodes. I'm like, yeah, it's good. They were like, dude, watch more.
Okay.
And they all like stare into my eyes intently, like, yo,
it's
trust
like a,
me.
It's like a don't look at me. It's just like, okay, so apparently something goes down in Barry that neither of us know about. Please don't spoil it for us.
Yeah.
But we'll have to get on Barry and we will report back.
Yeah.
Sharp Objects, dude. I think I'm 1 behind.
I'm like 2 behind, I think.
Very good still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking it. That mom is so irksome. Yeah. But, like, they do it in a way where you're like, I believe this, you know? Like, it's not, like, a character that's just annoying for the sake of it.
Totally.
You did can you, see where she's coming from.
Did you watch Big Little Lies?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh.
But I want to. It's on my list.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember you bringing up how last time we talked about Sharp Objects, about how they do memories really seamlessly
and
stuff.
Yeah. I
love that stuff, too.
Do they do that in Big Little Lies?
Yeah.
Is it the same team or is
same,
it
same director Jean-Marc Vallée? He did oh my gosh, that amazing movie Wild with
Reese Witherspoon. I never saw that.
He directed every episode of Big Little Lies and now every episode of Sharp Objects.
Ah, okay. I mean that does seem to be, you can feel some shows like this where they're making choices like that, stylistic choices, and it's not the same director throughout, you can definitely feel the differences.
Totally.
Not to say that, you know, directors do different qualities of work, but like, I mean, they do, but
yeah,
you definitely just feel the different choices.
Totally.
But anyway, all good. Please watch Patriot on Amazon.
I promise I will. I promise.
I love that show.
There's two seasons, right? Or just one?
Oh. I think season two is supposed to happen someday.
Cool.
Season one was like, I don't know, a couple of years ago. You know, it's been
really?
Like, they've been like,
so it's one of those situations.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Where it's just like, oh, they're working on it, maybe.
Okay.
I, the rumor was this year, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting late in the day for a year. Anyway,
yeah.
Heist movies, Huber.
Heist. I did not ask you. So I have no idea Ian's thoughts on Rafifi.
I watched it last night.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, first of all,
I have not seen it in a while. I didn't get to rewatch it. I'm sorry. I failed.
That's okay.
But I've seen it.
First of all, what made you... Why'd you pull Rafifi?
Dude, the heist!
The heist is intense.
Legendary.
Also, like, this movie, we're sorry. Turns out it's, like, impossible to get.
I didn't know
I had to buy it to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I mean, I could have gone to Cinephile, but I just, like, I flew in, and then, like, we worked all Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I knew I wouldn't have time to go to the rental place, so I just had it shipped to myself.
I figured it was a hidden gem. It's very well regarded, but it's still kind of a hidden gem, so I wanted to kind of hit that.
Yeah.
And also, they referenced it on... the final season of The Americans.
Okay.
They go to the theater to watch it.
To watch Rafifi.
So it was on the mind, and I was like, yeah.
It's very funny because it was 1955, if I'm not mistaken. Rafifi. I like the... It's kind of funny because there's like the germ of like modern heist movies. And I'm sure there are other movies that maybe that did the same kind of like preparation montage and then like... I really respect that they basically do the heist in real time in complete silence.
Silence, dude.
Someone else mentioned that, too. Like, it's intense.
Yeah. And you didn't know it was coming, right?
What?
The silence and the heist.
Oh, no.
So, like, 10 minutes in, were you just like, what is happening?
Yeah. I was... Well, they said that they had to be quiet because of the alarm system.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because it's like... the prototype for, they've got advanced satellites mapping your heat signatures through the building, and, like, you gotta, like, mask your stuff. And it's, like, in this, it's just a kind of sensitive spring. Like, if you make too loud of a noise, it'll trip the thing, and you just shoot foam into it, and it's fine. Like, it's, like, so funny, but it's, like, this big deal.
The old 50s.
But, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Definitely, I was stressed out, and I was rooting for... Well, that's the weird thing with this movie, is, like, the main guy's not...
He's a psycho,
he's
right?
He's kind of like a jerk. He, like, beats that woman, and I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah. So I wasn't really rooting for him.
Exactly.
Really, at the end, I was just kind of like... Spoiler for Rafifi right now. I'll put my hand down when it's done. But, like, I was just like, take the money.
Yeah.
Take that briefcase full of money, kid's mom.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
I know.
And I was like, ah...
Yeah, and he's, like, driving back. He's wounded, right?
Yeah. He's, like, dying. And
yeah.
Anyway, spoiler's over. But Rafifi, very
intense movie.
I like to start these off usually with a lengthy, sometimes, list of movies that qualify with the theme.
Great.
But this time, since I asked people which heists have stolen your heart in the $7 and up Patreon tier, I got a lot of good responses. So I'm just going to, like... lightning round, speed through these responses lightning fast. So bear with me because there are a few of them. Starting with Tokyo Slim, who just listed a bunch. Ronin.
Nice.
Great car chase. Jackie Brown, Baby Driver, kind of drive. Danger Diabolique. Sexy Beast, Out of Sight. The Usual Suspects, Three Kings, The Killing, Rafifi. Point effing break. Both the Thomas Crown Affairs. Hackers. Good Thief, Confidence, The Lookout, Mission Impossible's Ghost Protocol, and Rogue Nation.
Nice.
Alan Canlick said Good Time, which I haven't seen yet. Yeah, it's been on my list, and I haven't seen it. Jeremy Ferris brought up Ant-Man. Only person who brought up Ant-Man, to my knowledge.
Yeah, dude.
Overlooked. Don't sleep on Ant-Man. Megan Linhart, The Town.
The Town. Putting the whole town in my rear view. It's one of my favorite lines. I love that line.
They had a comment on here, too. They love Ben Affleck's directing, and the movie is just all around good, from acting to the writing. Love the concept of him falling in love and trying to leave, but having a good heart, but he's forced to do one last heist because his new love is threatened.
Dude, Jeremy Renner in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
He'll come up in a second. Ryan said, I need to shout out the chase and shootout scene in Heat.
Culmination.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I mean, yeah. Heat's going to come up. All right, so a couple of people brought this up.
Okay.
And I wanted to make a point to bring it up, so I'm glad they did. But okay. Both Chris LaRue and Roosterbox and a few others mentioned Inception.
Yes.
Which, yes, in a way, is an inverse heist, because they're not taking something out, they're putting something in.
Yeah, true.
But Chris LaRue says, in essence, it definitely is a heist movie. It's a great example of unconventional motives and conflict. Where things are improvised and the dream world is like an immune system attacking the foreign bodies. Roosterbox said, I love how much it works with typical heist tropes, playing out some of them to a T, assembling a badass team, working out the plan, a constant tension-filled battle of will they, won't they succeed, but subverts others. The end goal isn't stealing something, it's planting something. And in DiCaprio's case, DiCaprio, not intentional, case... it's all about letting go of something. A perfect example of a modern-day heist film. Richard Flowers says, a bunch of people brought up Reservoir Dogs, but he said it's probably the best heist movie, and ironically, the heist is a MacGuffin, and you don't actually see it. Mm-hmm. Just the planning and the aftermath. Heat is a close second, and again, it's less about the heist and more about dynamic of the two characters. Point Break is brainless fun, and again, more about a lifestyle than the heists. Maybe it's a prerequisite, but I find the best heist movies are much less about the heist and more about the people involved. I think that for me, it's like kind of both.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Stephen Beaumont. I just thought this was funny.
Okay.
This is a little long. Here we go. A good heist movie needs some good twists. So when assembling your team, you need the right people for the job. There's usually a flaw in this design, as shown when Jafar employs a thief to steal a lamp, only to be foiled at the outset. The next phase of the plan was to find a diamond in the rough, but he does, but the boy came with a monkey, and when the prize was within grasp, his patsies betrayed him and stole the lamp for themselves. Then throughout the film, Jafar pursues another score, the Sultan's daughter. Foiled again in this bid, fortune falls upon Jafar, and he gets his hands on the lamp he so desired. Only hubris is his undoing, and that is why Aladdin is the greatest heist movie of all time. I've never thought about Aladdin as a heist film.
Oh my gosh, that's
funny.
But
it kind of fits.
That's so funny.
I like it. He also brought up two amazing heist films from the cop's perspective, which I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something that I think we should talk about. But Die Hard and Die Hard with a Vengeance,
yeah,
they're heist movies, but you're trying to stop the heist, unravel the heist. Die Hard 1, it follows all the best tropes of a heist movie, too. Mm-hmm. Even like a fake out, like they're not really there for what you think they're there for. It's so good. Bond movies are sort of like that, too. Morgan Mihala brought up Hell or High Water.
Yes, Taylor Sheridan is GOAT.
Yeah. Same writer as Sicario and Wind River.
Yep.
Jeremy Renner, right?
Jeremy Renner. No, not in... Oh, in Wind River.
In Wind River, yeah. Who are the two guys in Hell or High Water?
Bridges, Chris Pine.
Yeah.
And
his brother. I don't know his brother's name.
Oh, my God. Ben Foster.
Yeah. But I agree with Morgan that it paints a morally ambiguous story of characters from both sides of the law, righting wrongs of their situations. And Sam Sorensen brought up a movie that I know of but have never seen, Hudson Hawk. Have you seen it?
No.
Listen to this description. Okay. I want to watch it like right away. Hudson Hawk is probably my favorite heist movie. It gets flack, I believe, mostly for being sold as an action film with Die Hard star Bruce Willis, but it's a bizarre and surreal heist film that incorporates international conglomerates manipulating the gold market to acquire power, the mob, an ancient religious sect utilizing their secret societies to protect artistic artifacts, and a rogue American spy agency manipulating an ex-con cat burglar who's only trying to get a cappuccino after being released from prison.
That sounds weird and awesome.
I really want to see Hudson Hawk.
I've never
now.
Seen it.
What?
Oh, it's funny.
But yeah, So many good heist movies.
What about Deathly Hallows?
Whoa.
Gringotts.
They do.
Looking for all those Horcruxes. Yeah, it's kind of like heisty.
They have to. I'm trying to remember how they trick the goblins.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I'm Harry Potter. I need to go to my vault. Or
no, they Bellatrix. They take the
polyjuice. Oh, they do
polyjuice
potion. Call back to movie one. Is that where they do polyjuice?
Chamber of Secrets.
That's two. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I know in Goblet of Fire, he's doing polyjuice. Well,
we can't spoil that. It's too good.
It's so good. It's so good.
Tongue thing. Harry Potter. They're bringing them all back. Bringing them all back to theaters.
I know.
Later this month.
That's the thing, though, Ian. So I think of I think of Point Break, and I think of them robbing banks. Mm-hmm. But then I think of something like, you know, Heat, where they really go into the plan of the bank robbery, whereas Point Break is a lot of like, yo, we're just going in, smash and grab, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a difference between a heist movie and just like an action
or robbery
movie?
Yeah.
You know, does a heist movie need the scene where they lay out the plan?
That that question actually came up in the discussion topic too, where someone is like, is there a difference between a robbery and a heist? Mm-hmm. And I think Tokyo Slim or somebody said basically that, where like a heist movie focuses heavily on get the team, make a plan, and do it.
Yeah.
To me, my definition of a robbery is sort of like, it may or may not be spur of the moment, but like less planned, usually kind of sloppy, just like threat of violence, give me money, and I leave. Whereas a heist has like, you thought this out ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes the movie itself is tricking the audience, like Inside Man or any of these other movies where it's just like the plan is the thing and what you think is happening isn't even always happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a robbery is like, I'm in a gas station. I point my gun at you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's maybe the,
defining
characteristic. Yes. The plan. Yeah.
Gotta have a plan.
Gotta have a plan.
Did anybody mention The Killing?
Yes.
Nice.
But I think it'll come up later.
Okay, excellent.
But yeah, I'm trying to just see. One of the major things that came up a bunch of times and that I think is hugely important in a heist movie is conflict. And not only in just the tension for the audience and stuff, but the characters and their motivations, which we'll talk more about in a second, but having those conflicts within the group, against the police, against the institution you're trying to rob, and against like rival gangs. Mm-hmm. I thought Rafifi was interesting in that regard because it's kind of funny in Rafifi, they introduce the police for one scene and the guy's like, hey, Inspector, what do you think? And he's like, oh, you know, maybe this, they stole that. Here's the funeral. I'm watching to see if anybody shows up. Never see him again. You never see that
That's
guy
so
again,
funny, dude.
Or at least not like in any prominent way.
Yeah.
And like the main friction is between kind of the rival gangster guy, Pierre, who's dating his erstwhile lover until she leaves him because he's a chump too.
Yeah.
But that kind of conflict, I think, is what makes movies like this really shine. And I mean, like, someone brought
Heat,
this
dude.
Up. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The best conflict, Ian. You have Pacino and De Niro butting heads, the famous scene, you back me into a corner, like, I'm not going down, or whatever the line epic line. So you have them, but then you also have De Niro and Wayne Grow, who's like the psychopath. Do you remember him?
Is he the guy who picks up that kid? And uses him as a...
No, that's Tom Sizemore. That's another, like, crazy guy in De Niro's gang.
Like, the image, that besides the, like, airport end shootout, like, the guy picking up the little girl as a human shield, like, is, like, seared in my memory.
So...
Because I was just like, ah, what?
Yeah.
It's a kid, what? Yeah. Like, good Lord, you're a monster.
Yeah, you have De Niro and his gang, and he, like, you know, is trying to take out Wayne Grove, but then also like leave with the girl he meets.
Yeah.
So there's just so many dynamics of conflict. It's so good.
I'm not going to lie. It's been probably 15 years since I've seen Heat.
It holds up.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I remember it being long.
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think.
It's like really long.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously one of the classic heist movies.
Michael Mann.
Yeah.
Good sound. In Michael Mann movies.
Oh, yeah.
Collateral and Heat.
Yeah.
Crank it.
Collateral, not a heist movie.
No.
It's like an assassination movie.
Yeah.
That's got to be a... I want to ask you this. Have you seen 13 Assassins?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies.
So good.
Is that a heist movie or an assassination movie? Both? They're not stealing anything, but it follows the structure, kind of a heist. They plan for half the movie and then execute for half the movie.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
I saw it in the theater, haven't seen it since. The people are coming to kill the people in the village, and the assassins are defending, right?
Not really. There's an evil shogunate, or whatever, and his samurai are like, honorably, we can't kill this guy, but he's a monster.
Yeah.
And they go to this Ronin, who doesn't have a master, and is just like, could you take him out for us?
Yeah.
Maybe?
So it's like an assassination.
Here's where he's going to be, kind of. But yeah, I mean, it's an assassination movie, but it follows like a heist plot, and I love it. Watch 13 Assassins.
I need to watch it again.
It's so good. But anyway, yeah, I think character... I want to talk about the characters' motives, because obviously in any good narrative, the characters are the glue, the driving force of the story, if the story is well told. But heist movies are really interesting because I think you get a lot of like double blind motivations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ocean's 11, they play it like they always play it in all the Ocean's movies. They play it like kind of part of the fun is like, okay, you're just going to steal this thing for revenge. But it's like, oh, wait, you've got plans within plans. You're actually trying to get your girlfriend back or wife or whatever. And like all this other stuff is happening underneath it, you know? So the real motivations are love or whatever. It's not always just money.
Yeah. I love a good redemption story.
Right. And with Rafifi, I think it was interesting because the main character, I wonder if he had other motivations. Is he kind of just mad?
Yeah, I always felt like he just loved robbing.
Yeah, he just loved
the art of robbing.
And a bad dude, just like wanted to do. Because he got angry, beat up his ex girlfriend, and then called him and was like, "I'm in, but we're doing it full out." And I'm like,
"Rage heist."
Yeah, a rage heist. It's a rage heist for no other reason than he's pissed.
Yeah,
like he's pissed that his erstwhile lover doesn't love him anymore. And that she was with someone else, and
it's like all he knows how to do.
Trying to get back lost time, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the slammer. Anyway, have you ever heard of a movie called Catch That Kid?
No.
I'd never heard of this, but it sounds kind of interesting. Ken Reels brought it up. From their childhood, the film Catch That Kid. The premise is that a young Kristen Stewart... Yes, from Twilight, plays a tomboy whose dad is sick and can't afford surgery that will save his life. However, her mother is a security consultant for a big bank and has built a state-of-the-art security system. I'm sure you can piece together what the heist entails. It's a great kind of kid-flavored heist film that takes cues from the greats and mixes in a really good story and character growth. Kristen Stewart actually shows that at an early age she was a good actor despite how we only see her as Twilight and that she's a bad actor. If anyone hasn't checked it out, check it out. I'd never heard of that, but it seems like an interesting kind of premise. And if I'm reading that correctly, is it the children doing a heist?
It sounds, yeah.
That's
like
what it sounds like.
She's going to get her mom's info and stuff.
Yeah, like hack into the gene bank or whatever to fix her dad. Like, that's kind of cool to heal someone. Ocean's 13.
I remember loving 13.
11 and 13 are the good ones. I haven't seen 8. So
it was cool.
I can't comment on that.
I liked it.
Yeah, I wanted to see it. I just didn't time out. But 12 is not good.
Okay.
I
haven't seen him in so long.
Of course, I don't love Julia Roberts, but
Pretty Woman, dude.
Yeah, I never saw it.
It was a good one. Aaron Brockovich.
Never saw it.
Dude, Aaron Brockovich
generally just
is
avoid...
one of the greats.
Really?
Swear on my life.
All right.
Holds up.
All right.
So good.
All right. But 13, they're sort of kind of doing it to heal Saul, kind of. He's like kind of just laid out from grief, I guess. He's not like, he has like a heart attack or something, I think, vaguely remembering. But he's kind of comatose for most of the movie, and they're trying to like screw over Al Pacino get him. Yeah.
Pacino, good villain in that.
There's a really good line in that where Danny Ocean says, George Clooney's character says, you know, Al Pacino's like all pissed, and he's like, I'm going to send so many guys to kill you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think it's 13, not 11. But then he just goes, first of all, I know all the guys you would send after me, and they like me better than you. Yeah. It's just like, huh? Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
He's just like, nah. But that brings me to this comment when talking about stakes.
Yeah.
Because the stakes of a heist movie are obviously hugely important. It's what makes us feel tense. It's what makes us feel frightened for the characters. Liz Castro has made a really good point that in the Ocean's movies, one of the things that feels vaguely hollow is the outcome. It's George Clooney and Brad Pitt. Of course they're going to get away with it. In a film like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, the film had relatively unknown for American audiences at the time leads, and so the stakes seemed a lot higher, a lot deadlier. This kind of gets into extra textual readings of actors, she recommends anything written by Anne Helen Peterson, and the whole idea of star making. The more charismatic, well-known the actors are, the more happy ending the heist ends up being. I thought that was a really good point, really interesting, because yeah, the Ocean's 11 movies nowadays, the George Clooney, Brad Pitt, even Ocean's 8, it reminds me kind of that style of filmmaking from the 90s where you had like the things that birthed like Broken Arrow, Con Air, The Rock, Face Off, culminating maybe in Face Off, where it's like you just want to see, like, they are John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, and then it's Nicolas Cage playing John Travolta and vice versa. Like, that's why you're seeing that movie, and the only reason it held up at the time
is
that
two
movie
gold
is
pistols.
Not good. Right, but it's kind of interesting because it seems sort of like a modern take on that, or a more current take on that, where it's like, you're kind of just there to have fun with George Clooney.
Yeah,
or Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's kind of how I felt with Ocean's 8. Mm-hmm. You know,
right,
they're getting away with this.
There are no stakes because you know they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, Cate Blanchett, like, everyone's going to make it. Probably no one's going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, in doing research, I've found that the comedy version of a heist film is often called a caper.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder, are the Ocean's movies capers?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're fun and stylish heist movies.
What does Soderbergh say?
I don't know. Soderbergh.
Soderbergh.
Let us know in the comments. Soderbergh, is it a caper or a heist?
We're talking about stakes. I definitely want to talk about Inception.
Absolutely.
Because those stakes keep rising and rising and rising as they get deeper and deeper and deeper into the layers of the mind or whatever the hell it was. Been a couple years now. But as they go, they keep going down and down and down. I think they do such a good job of letting the audience know, like, yo, we might succeed with this, but like, time is passing up there.
Right.
Like, maybe everything won't be the same even if we do succeed.
Right.
So there is those, you know, there are those stakes that in success, it's, you still might feel the damage.
Well, and also, like, sort of Christopher Nolan, every movie he makes is almost kind of structured like a heist movie. Intensity, yes. The ramp up of intensity, yeah. But also just that his movies, I think Inception and The Prestige are the sterling examples of this in his filmography, but even the Batman movies, I think, do this to an extent. Mm-hmm. The first part, he establishes all the rules, sets up the rules, and then trusts you to remember the rules as the things move forward. And it's almost clinical. Like, Inception, I think, drags on subsequent viewings because the first time you're watching it, you're like, yes, oh my God, the lore, the rules, the systems in place here are so cool. But then on subsequent viewings, you know all of that. Mm-hmm. So you could almost skip the first 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't really miss out on anything. But in Inception, yeah, they form a team, etc. Prestige, he sort of forms a team. He gets Tesla involved and stuff, but he's not stealing anything really besides secrets.
Secrets. Dude, Prestige.
Prestige is very good.
I love Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Inception so much.
Yeah.
He's just so likable in that movie, and you want him to just like get out of it all, you know?
Well, and there's something fascinating about like the expatriate kind of archetype where it's like you've been exiled, the exile.
Yeah.
And his hero's journey of just, he can't get Mal back. I think her name is Mal.
Isn't that, no, it's Murph.
Yeah. is that her name? Whatever. Mal? Short for something.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
you're right.
Yeah, he can't get her back, obviously, but like, just trying to return to his family, to his life, like to be free again. Which is very cool and something
so
that,
relatable. Everyone wants to just be free and go back to living, you know?
And it's an important element of a heist movie where it's, I think in Inception, it's not really played as much as in, say, an Ocean's movie or others where it's, or Inside Man, where the motivations are hidden and used as a twist for the audience, you know? Mm-hmm. I think in Inception, we're vaguely aware or pretty explicitly aware of his kind of character's background. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is it's not his expressed motivation to also deal with his skeletons in his closet. But the nice thing is that through doing this Inception, the only other time he's done it is accidentally on Mall or whatever. Mm-hmm. He does have to confront those demons. So like he kind of inadvertently has another motivation happening too, but sometimes. Yeah.
Then they leave us with that damn top spinning. Is he in a dream? Is he out? What the hell?
He's in reality.
Damn it, Nolan.
He's in reality.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's fine.
Positive
it's
ending.
Fine.
I agree, Ian. Thank
also,
you.
Like, if you look
canon.
At the
it's canon.
I mean, I think like people have looked at it, and it's like the kids are wearing different stuff. Like, you know, it's not the same exact shot. It's made to obviously mirror it, but
yeah.
He
made it.
Yeah,
he's living somewhere. Cobb.
Yeah, he's fine. He's in Montana or wherever those kids live, in that house that didn't change in 10 years. Tokyo Slim brought up the heist sequence done in Rafifi as like maybe the most intense.
Yeah.
It's just like so intense.
It's out of control.
I would like to see something like that again, like in a modern film where it's just
30
that,
minutes.
Yeah, like extended sequence.
Gosh.
I'm trying to think.
It's like, does Hollywood have, you know, the guts to do that?
Yeah.
And do audiences, calling audiences out, audiences have the guts to sit in a silent movie theater and not look at their phone or say a word for 30 minutes? I don't know.
Yeah, Quiet Place did well.
True.
Gravity had extended sequences like that. The Revenant. I mean, again, 13 Assassins, like the whole last 45 minutes are basically just a real-time Charlie Foxtrot battle.
Yeah.
Roosterbox again says one of the key elements in a good heist film is tension. Will the objective be completed in time or before the team gets caught? If I'm not sweating right along with the characters, then what's even the point? 1D10 the show said, I love how you brought up stakes as it is essential for a good heist. It takes a criminal and makes them sympathetic. Heists have several important elements, and my favorite is the mastermind's hidden ace in the hole. The reveal is always satisfying for a good heist and hidden in plain sight, and it should tie into and raise the stakes as well. And they also brought up the Mistborn series of books because that kind of stuff happens.
Like when Joker takes the mask off in the beginning of Dark Knight?
Yeah.
So good.
I'm glad that 1D10 the show brought this up because, yeah, the ace in the hole, like, the thing that the main guy is hiding from everyone else and then reveals in the last minute. I love that stuff, man. I eat it up. I mean, the Ocean's movies do it, like, so it's everything.
Flawlessly.
Every example of everything in the Ocean's movies is just, like, so typical that it's, like, glaring, you know? It's, like, the perfect example of this thing.
He has a key card or something.
Right, yeah, or, like... the entire reason he's doing this thing is mm-hmm. because of, yeah, but I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. Solo, actually, a Star Wars story. There's a fun moment like that where just that reveal of that he took the thing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Stuff. I love stuff.
Solo
like that.
Is cool.
Movies. Huber, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better if they pull it off or get caught? And by this, I mean, I think in almost every heist movie, they pull off the heist.
So,
but what I mean is, like, yeah. Do you want them to get away with it or not?
It's a case-to-case basis, okay. But I brought it up earlier, and I'm going to go back to it. The Killing is one of my favorite examples because... Spoilers for The Killing.
I've actually never seen The Killing.
Okay, The Killing's great. So
it's the one Kubrick I don't think I've seen. Oh, I haven't seen Barry Lyndon either.
They rob.
I know. I haven't had 9 hours to set aside.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Best time to watch Barry Lyndon.
Double feature with Das Boot.
So The Killing is the perfect example of both.
Okay.
You know, where they pull off the heist, but things go down in okay. the aftermath, you know?
Yeah. Rafifi also.
And Rafifi as well. Like, yeah. And even Heat to an extent, you know?
Yeah, Heat, so I kind of like when not they... being happy at the end.
Yeah, because it's funny, you know? Heist, bank robbers are bad people.
Right.
You know? And I always am more attached when it's a Heat situation, when it's one last job, and you want to do it to just have enough to be set up and to just get out of the lifestyle,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and they add in his love interest and it's like, wow, I can see De Niro being with her, being happy and actually living a good life if he just pulls this off.
Right.
And it's like, but am I a monster for rooting De Niro? You know, I mean, he's in a parking lot with a machine gun mowing down
right.
innocents, dude.
Right.
Like, so heist movies are just a crazy, crazy thing where I love watching them because they are just so cool to watch. But at the end of the day, I feel somewhat bad for enjoying them because...
Well, I think it's a sliding scale, right?
Yeah.
Like you move your moral compass to yeah. match the movie that you're watching. It's like, obviously in real life...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what their reasons are if they're gunning down
yeah.
everybody, you know. But in a movie like yeah. this where kind of everyone, like, the best dude is, like, a 4
yeah.
out of 10 on the good scale, you know. And it's yeah. like, he's your shining example. Like, then you move the scale down in this movie and you're like,
yeah.
all right, I guess, I mean, this guy's a bad dude, but I'm rooting for him.
And that's why Inception is so great, because they're in the mind, so, like, really no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I just wanted DiCaprio to get out so bad.
Have you seen Inside Man?
Yes.
I like Inside Man because it's painstaking. Also, just a really smart way to do a heist. I think that movie's really fun. But,
really
good.
Good title.
But yeah, we're like, no, yeah. But like, where no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I like that degree of planning.
Totally.
I think it's very cool. Tokyo Slim says they definitely must succeed in accomplishing their true objective, which may or may not be the actual heist. Sometimes the heist itself is a diversion or a red herring to another simultaneous heist you were not clued into, or the whole thing was a setup to pin the crime on a guy blackmailing you or your family. That's a good... can you think of an example of a heist where within the team itself there's a betrayal?
Oh, yeah. Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Culmination of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Rafifi also. Yeah.
Yeah. Reservoir Dogs
yeah.
is so good.
Yeah.
I forget when they reveal that so-and-so is a
kinda
cop.
Later.
It's kind of later.
Yeah. It's after the car. Like, I'm going to die. You're
yeah.
not going to die, man.
Like, yeah, I'm bleeding out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's after that, I think. I haven't seen it in a few years.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Hell of a movie.
Oh, Reservoir Dogs, dude.
Yeah. I can remember my parents were always, that was the one at Blockbuster that we always looked at and we were never allowed to rent, you know, because the cover is like dudes with the guns,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, and like holding the gun.
Yeah.
So it always caught my brother and I, you know, it caught our eyes.
Yeah.
My parents were always like, no, it's so graphic. It's so violent. Then
and
finally,
it is kind of.
There's a lot of blood, yeah.
There's a lot of blood, but it's like cartoon blood almost. Yeah, that's true. Like an insane amount of F-bombs.
Yeah.
It's really weird as a kid. I wonder if we could do an episode about this, but like as a kid, like the movies that you were and were not allowed to see.
Yeah.
Like we watched Running Man like all the time. And I was like eight. Yeah. It's just like I loved Running Man.
Lethal Weapon. I'm like 7 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I'm getting too old for this shit. but yeah. Let's talk about style.
Style.
Heist films are generally
slick.
Very slick. Even the like, I think they come in like two kind of camps. There's gritty and like really stylized.
Totally.
But even the gritty ones generally have a style. Like think about Snatch or these other ones that are like, you know, it's gritty, it's graphic, but it's definitely just oozing with style. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Ocean's movies, Baby Driver is probably the most recent, just like really stylish example besides Ocean's 8, I guess.
God, someone mentioned Sexy Beast.
Yeah,
worst
Sexy Beast.
Title of a movie.
I do not
ever
even remember why it is called that. Because it's
think
like
he calls him.
He calls
it,
him that
at some point.
He's like, "You're a sexy beast."
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right. Also, I remember that movie being like 80 minutes long.
Yeah, it's quick.
It's like very short.
Yeah.
Like not even an hour and a half, if I'm remembering
Good
correctly.
Good movie.
Yeah, I like.
Do
Sexy
not
Beast.
Be fooled by the
I like Sexy
abysmal
Beast.
Title.
Suddenly, I just thought about Swimming Pool too. Is that the movie I'm talking about? Thinking about whatever doesn't matter. Silent Consonant, how you doing? When it comes to heist movies, I'm a style guy all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Snatch, Reservoir Dogs, Logan Lucky, and Baby Driver are some of the heist movies that scream out at me. I missed Logan Lucky. Did you see it?
I did.
I've heard it's good.
I
like a couple
it.
Other people didn't like it, so
I'm in the middle towards positive though.
Okay, okay.
So I liked it.
So it's like a 65 on Rotten Tomatoes for you.
Yeah, it's like a seven.
Okay,
yeah.
Swimming in sevens.
Yeah, I liked it. One of those movies where I came out and I was like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But like, don't have a desire to see it again. But I still enjoyed my time watching it in the theater.
I think that among thinking through my favorite heist movies, I think my favorites are the ones like Snatch or those where it seems like the substance came first and then the style came after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Ocean's movies do a decent job of that. I mean, the Ocean's movies are very like paint by numbers, just kind of like, here's a cool mystery and there you go.
Yeah. Couple of cool surprises at the end.
Right. And like, it's not character studies or whatever, but I definitely think that they work very hard to have a tight story. And they just know they're going to ooze style. Baby Driver's an interesting case for me because I really loved it. I loved the way that they made it and that they definitely did it to the music, and they were like had to clear the music license rights before filming
so cool.
And like while they're writing the script, you know, which is like pretty atypical, and like editing on set to like try to make sure they got the shots to time out right and stuff like that. All very awesome.
Yeah.
But
that's so cool.
When I'm thinking through the movie again now,
mm-hmm.
having, you know, a year or whenever, 2 years after its release, I'm wondering like if I watched it again, how much the story would hold up, you know, I wonder.
Yeah.
Cause that first car is similar with Drive, where it's like that first opening sequence is so good.
So good.
Like astronomically good.
Like the best part.
Yeah. But that's the problem. It starts on such a high note.
Yeah.
That it doesn't have both Baby Driver for me and Drive
that opening scene, dude.
They don't transcend their own openings.
Yeah. I agree.
Not to say the rest of the movies are bad, but like the opening is so strong. It's like the musical Book of Mormon for me, where it's like Hasidic Ebo Eye is the best song and it's the sixth one. So the rest of it is like, I mean, obviously I Believe is good, but whatever. This isn't a musical theater podcast, but it's good. But yeah, I don't know. Do you think those movies, I mean, obviously, would they be made better by
saving it?
Well, yeah, by either moving that giant set piece a little later or having another one.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like the one of the best parts in Dark Knight is the bank robbery in the very beginning.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so good. It's awesome, you know? And then there's kind of the end, like the hostage situation.
I mean,
it's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, it opens with that legendary scene.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that movie ends when Joker is dangling upside down, and then everything after that is kind of whatever.
Yeah. What ends, like, right there. Then you have that
Yeah, I mean, another, like, 10, 20 minutes. Yeah. But, like, the rest is just afterthought, kind of. And, I mean, who knows how much of that was due to Ledger's death or what, but, like...
Oh, I love the end, though, with Harvey, dude. Yeah, it's so intense.
It's good.
Harvey, dude, he's, like, shooting. Oh, it's so... He shoots Batman, dude. It's so epic. Neither here nor there.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It's epic. But, yeah, I Drive, I think, is... Like, Dark Knight for me wasn't damaged by opening with that epic scene,
right?
Which is funny because that scene was played before Mission Impossible in the IMAX.
I saw it before seeing it too.
I have honestly seen that scene 50 times.
Yeah. only in the IMAX, or was it? I remember going to that. What was that Mission Impossible 3?
It was Ghost Protocol.
I don't think so, because I saw Ghost Protocol on vacation.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure.
I don't know about this one.
Pretty sure.
But I definitely remember.
Let us know.
I thought it was 3.
I thought it was 4.
We'll look later.
Anyway, that movie was not damaged. I feel like Drive is for me, kind of the only movie that was damaged by opening so strong.
Yeah.
You know, it never hit that again. That intro, dude.
It's flawless. Mm-hmm. The beginning of Drive is so incredible.
It's so good that, like, I try to recreate that vibe in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? I'll, like, rob a liquor store, have the cops chase me, and, like, do a couple sick turns, drive into a parking structure, and just park your car, and you'll, like, I honestly recreate
it. Do it.
Because that scene is so good, just the vibe of it.
They basically do the exact same thing in Baby Driver, actually.
Yeah.
They go into a garage. Well, they switch cars. But he just, like, gets out and walks away, I think, right? But
yeah. I think building to the heist is usually a better move and a better play.
Yeah.
Or somewhere near the middle-ish end, you know, kind of like Rafifi.
Well, Drive, I don't think, is a heist movie, really. I can't even remember if he's trying to steal anything. Mm. He's just a driver who goes job to job. But yeah, so it's kind of a different beast, not a fair comparison. But I just think, like, structurally, Drive peaks early, but... Again, not to say that's not a good movie, because I really like that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Liz Castro. Yeah, Refn, dude. Liz Castro was the person who brought up the killing. Talking about the style of the killing, those cuts, those transitions and characters. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I need to see the killing.
Kubrick.
It's one of the movies that's, like, haunted me my whole life where I've, like, not seen it and I want to.
It's not too long either.
Yeah. Night of the Hunter is another one where I own the Blu-ray and I, like, haven't watched it.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, yeah. It's apparently good. Nice. She also counts Fantastic Mr. Fox as a heist film.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay.
Go through the plan.
They plan it, you know? hold on. Now I'm going through thinking, like,
I mean,
how many Wes Anderson movies are, like, heist films? Like,
I mean, Aladdin is apparently the best heist movie, so.
But Grand Budapest Hotel, they, like, break him out and, like, plan it, like, heist. Damn. Several of it, they almost, like, because they always have planning.
A jailbreak is similar to a heist.
Oh, for sure. The Rock.
The Rock. Kind of a heist. Busting in.
Stealing
the...
Get those drugs.
VX poison gas.
I will not give that order.
I will not give that order.
What's wrong with you, man? Hold your guns up. Chris LaRue says, I love movies that bathe in style. Movies that bathe in grit. But not ones that try to do both. Unless it's masterfully done. Mm-hmm. Good examples of balance, in his opinion, are Baby Driver, where you have the style of the music, but it doesn't interfere with everything else. Another example is Reservoir Dogs. I like that comment just because that's a very good point. And I think sort of like what I was trying to say a second ago, where it's like there needs to be character. I mean, every good movie, as I've said, every narrative, you start with the characters, generally. I mean, 99% of the time. And... if a heist movie doesn't have that, if it doesn't have those motivations, that conflict, those driving, if I don't like these people, no amount of style, like oozing style all over it will almost make it worse.
Yeah.
Think about a good example of this, not exactly a heist movie, unless I've blocked most of it from my memory, but the movie Wanted. where it's all style and no substance. I despised that movie. I thought that movie was actively insulting, like literally directly insulting to the audience. The character at the end says, like, what have you done lately to the audience at the end of the movie?
I don't remember it.
I remember very much despising that movie. But that, you know, that can happen. And I think that you see that in a lot of the, like, kind of snatch ripoffs or, you know, clones that happened after those movies got big.
Totally. I think if a character is a shitty person in a heist movie, they need to at least know it themselves or, like, trying at it for a shot at redemption, like you know, Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah.
Stealing for his granddaughter.
Right.
Or something like they need to be doing it for a good cause, at least.
I think that's another, along with the exile, that's a powerful trope for me, too, in any kind of thing. But I think it happens a lot in heist movies where it's like that person who acknowledges that they are, like, a lost cause. Like, I'm corrupted. I'm broken. I'm this thing. So I can be this blunt instrument to make someone else not have to fall from grace like I have. I really like that motivation for sure.
Heck yeah.
And I think, a lot of heist movies are like that. You get a lot of leading people in heist movies that are like, I know I'm bad.
Yeah.
Like,
there's like someone on the team that's like not as bad.
Yeah.
Trying to like set them up.
It was funny, Rafifi again, because we were referring to the characters as like Joe. We were like, okay, Brad Pitt. Main guy is like sort of like a mean George Clooney. The other guy's like a goofball. So it's kind of like a combination of like four of the guys in Ocean's 11. But it's like, it's funny that they followed those tropes. It's like, okay, here's the funny, dumb, like short guy. Here's the foreigner guy. Here's the Brad Pitt sexy muscle guy. Here's the brains guy who's like handsome
people
but a bastard.
In real life, Ian, have like tried to mimic the Rafifi heist.
Or
like
in real life.
Real life. It's had that much of an impact.
What?
Yeah.
That's like, fantastic.
The jewelry heists going down.
Dude, I need to like read about
it's
that.
Crazy.
That's
it's
so
crazy.
Funny to me.
Like drilling into places.
We mentioned earlier caper films, and I cannot believe that I did not think of this film. Andreas Kother brings up, to lighten the mood, I would like to mention one of my favorite movies, which also happens to be a heist movie. Raising Arizona.
Dude.
The kidnapping scene and the diaper run are wonderfully filmed. Suspenseful but hilarious. It has a great nemesis in the bounty hunter, and it fulfills many of the criteria of a heist film. Also, I would say that it's a heist film, and it has several robberies within it, too.
Yeah.
Because he just straight up, like, robs for diapers. It's just like, with pantyhose on his head. Son, you got a panty on your head. Did you get your dip tits? That's one of those movies. Ooh, man, this would be an intense episode that we could do, too.
Coen Brothers.
We did Coen Brothers, but bittersweet movies. Like this and Galaxy Quest and a few other movies that end happily, kind of, but I mean, Galaxy Quest and this are a little different, but like they just leave you feeling like super happy, sad, like bittersweet at the end of the movie.
Serenity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Galaxy Quest, though, is like, man, at the end of that, I'm like overjoyed, but really depressed, kind of. It's like weird. Harry Potter movies do that to me, too. I'm like, I want to go to there.
Yeah. I want to go to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Let's see. We're running a little short on time here, but talking about planning, Samuel Cardware had an interesting comment here. I think my favorite thing about heists is the mandatory, in parentheses, or sequence where the mastermind gathers together their team. Give me a smoke-filled room and the set of dossiers, and I'm weirdly thrilled. This is where heist films can cross over with war films. I thought this was interesting. Indeed, the early heist film The League of Gentlemen from 1960 played on this by having the entire crew made up of ex-servicemen led by a former officer. The Guns of Navarone is basically a heist film where the caper is legitimized by warfare. The same could be said about Mass Effect 2, actually. The famous suicide mission isn't too different from a bank robbery, and of course 95% of the game is spent building up your crack team. I liked that.
Mass Effect 2's culmination.
Oh, Mass Effect 2, dude. Mass Effect 2 is really good.
So good.
I love that game.
Love it.
I haven't seen Guns of Navarone, actually. Have you seen it?
Yeah. One of my dad's favorites.
Oh, yeah? What are some of your other dad's favorites? Or not
Heat.
Your dad's other favorites.
Heat. Like, my dad showed me Heat when I was too young. Yeah. Like many of the movies my dad has shown me. Far too young.
Yeah.
And like Reservoir Dogs and, you know, Butch Cassidy. Love a good Western heist.
I actually don't like Butch Cassidy.
Really?
The Sundance Kid.
What?
It
Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
To me, it the best. I think it falls in line with what Liz was talking about earlier, what we were talking about earlier, where it's just kind of like the star-making thing, where it's like, oh, here are these guys, and they're... I mean, I don't know when this came out in their career, so maybe this is just looking at it with hindsight, but... It seemed to me like it was overly long because it's just fun to watch them bike around.
It's so fun.
You know? But like,
they only bike
I
around
have
for the one scene.
For like 20 minutes.
It's a kind of a long scene.
It's absurd. And like the music choice is very like juxtapositional. Yeah. And it's just like, all right.
Yeah.
My problem that some heist films fall in line with too, but a lot of like Sid and Nancy or criminal films involving like a lot of heavy drug use or just consistent bad decisions. Mm-hmm. True Romance, I think, skirts it a little bit. But like, I think a lot of the times I don't have that kind of sympathy for characters that are like actively destroying their own lives and just making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't have anything to glom onto here. I don't care about you.
Totally fair.
So I'm like, kind of just get on with it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're just going to drive yourself into the ground and destroy everything around yourself, kind of just do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, Sid and Nancy, so I'm just like, going... you're just a bastard, dude.
Yeah.
Just, I don't care about you. I want this to be over.
But if they're going for redemption and they know that they're shitty,
right,
then
it makes it all different.
Yeah.
Like, you need to want...
to change.
Yeah, like...
to redeem.
That's why I think the Coen brothers' only misstep besides... Lady Killers doesn't really count, but, like... I really, really liked aspects of Inside Llewyn Davis, but I think that it was almost a failed experiment because it's a character study where it's an anti-hero who doesn't change. And like, I've seen a lot of my favorite movies have that arc, like There Will Be Blood. Inside Llewyn Davis, I'm just like, I just don't like you, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time with you.
Why do we like Daniel Plainview? Is it just Daniel Day-Lewis is the culmination?
Yeah. But I mean, that's not to say Oscar Isaac isn't good either, because I think he's fantastic. Yeah. So it's like, I think, honestly, it's the way, I mean, they talked about it a lot for There Will Be Blood, but like, they shoot it and they treated it like a monster movie where he's the shark.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. There Will Be Blood is just like, yeah, he's a monster, but he's just fascinating.
Yeah.
Whereas Same inside with, Llewyn Davis is just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not interesting, dude. Like, what's, I could go to Echo Park and talk to this guy.
Oh, my God. What's Anton Chigurh?
Oh, yeah. See? He's like a force of nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that Cormac McCarthy does very well, is like, half the time his characters aren't even human beings. They're just like archetypes.
Yeah.
Like, Blood Meridian is the... And No Country for Old Men, where I think Blood Meridian, though, like, there are characters who are like... basically just like supernatural manifestations of like a concept. Like, this guy is war. This guy is whatever, you know.
I've never seen... what's Blood Meridian?
It's
I've
a
never
book. Seen it. It's probably the most violent thing I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Jeez.
It's also maybe one of my favorite books.
Jeez.
That I've ever read. Super intense. I highly recommend Blood Meridian if you've got the stomach for it.
Whoa.
Dead Baby Tree.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just...
is there a movie or a show of it?
It's been...
trying to...
they've been tried... like, multiple people have tried to get it off the ground, and everyone's just like, how are you going to pull this off?
Yeah.
I think James Franco wanted to do it.
A ton of movies?
Yeah. He might actually have the rights. He did, like, a weird, like, web-only, like, extended test for it, I believe. I think that was Blood Meridian. Anyway, Blood Meridian. Crazy book.
Jeez. Sounds nuts.
We're running a little out of time, so I'm going to... unless you have something to say about a nemesis. in heist movies. We'll skip ahead here.
I mean, Pacino and De Niro, one of the great rivalries.
I mean, I think it's definitely important. I think that we covered it earlier with conflict. Like, if you have two characters, the best of these movies, I think, make you root for both sides.
Yes.
I mean, Die Hard, again, like, great heist movie reversed, but, like, obviously you care about McClane, and he's this great dude, but you're also, like, weirdly fascinated by Hans Gruber.
So good.
And again, by Simon in Vengeance. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. Die Hard is so good. I love Die Hard.
Absurdly good. Hans Gruber.
The thing
Hans Gruber
has
gotta be the number one villain of all time, Ian. I can't think. Like,
oh, man.
Some people say Darth Vader, and that gets weird. Some people say Hannibal Lecter or something.
Hannibal Lecter,
and that's
especially if you include,
really good.
Well, are we talking movies, or are we including the shows?
We're including every medium of all time.
Well, then the Joker.
Better than Hans Gruber.
There's just way more of him. There's like
right,
way
just
more.
Film.
Okay, just film. So then Hannibal's out because Hannibal, I think, is best in the show.
Yeah, Mads.
Like, if we include Mads, Hannibal's up there. I mean, movie Hannibal is great too.
Yeah.
But he really gets to shine in the show.
Yeah.
Hans
is in the conversation.
Damn, Hans is in the conversation. Simon is good too, but yeah, definitely second fiddle to Hans.
Yeah.
Oh boy, this is a toughie.
Yeah.
None of the Lord of the Rings villains are all that compelling because they're basically just like they're evil.
Yeah,
you're just kind of told. I mean, like, it's great.
It's just pure
it's just
evil.
Paint by, you know, but,
Sauron.
Yeah,
Gollum.
Gollum is complex.
Really good.
Gollum is Gollum is probably the most complex character in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Voldemort's good. Great villain.
Voldemort's pretty good. Yeah,
Tom Riddle.
Voldemort's
dude.
Pretty good. The Tom Riddle stuff. Eh. It's hard.
I think we're going to get more of that in Fantastic Beasts Part 5.
Yeah. When they start to overlap.
Yeah.
And Jude Law in real life is like 60. It's hard. Acronyms, tough to pull off and make it satisfactory, I think. Like, the I am Tom Riddle or I am Lord Voldemort made out of the name Tom Malvolio Riddle. I'm just like,
All right,
dude. Like, what? You just, like, took the letters and just filled it in with I am Lord Voldemort?
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
Whatever.
Yeah. Sweep that one up.
Or, like, in Redwall, like, I am that is Matthias.
Yo, T-1000 also in
Very
the conversation.
Good. Very good. What's even happening right now? Well, speaking of good guys and bad guys, a lot of times current, more modern stuff, especially like I think about Oceans and stuff like that, where they make the institution that's being robbed. That's like classic Save the Cat. It's like a film writing book, whatever. In that, I think he says, like, if you're having problems with your hero, not like if your hero isn't very good, just make the villain worse. Which, I mean, is a pretty simplified kind of thing, but it seems like heist movies kind of do that because, like,
evil versus more evil.
Right.
Yeah, Hell or High Water.
Yeah, it's like...
kind of a good example, you know? Like, big banks.
Right. only robbing the specific... God, that's a good movie. Oh, Hell or High Water is so good. But, like, yeah, Ocean's 11 is like, they make out the villain to be bad because it makes the good guys seem less bad. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Ocean's, they're not killing people, so it's like, fine. You know, it's like, I don't care if some casino gets robbed.
Totally.
But Simon Constance said, kind of along those lines, the characters in Snatch, a bunch of strange, lovable, terrible people. I never feel like I'm rooting for the right people in that movie. It always feels like I'm just hoping that the worst things happen to everyone. The reason that Snatch works for me is I think that I want the most out of a heist movie is what they want most out of a heist movie is varying points of view. Maybe an inside man, a desperate criminal, a rookie cop. I want conflicting ideologies and no one to cheer for. Just watch it all go down and watch everything unravel around the characters.
Yeah.
Tokyo Slim said different perspectives of the detectives and law enforcement trying to stop the heist. It helps that the criminals are relatable in some way, though, like Point Break, it just helps most movies if it's not just black and white, good versus evil. Yeah, Point Break, I think, is a really good example of that where you like them.
Swayze,
yeah, yeah, you like him.
Totally.
You're like, oh, you're going too far. I remember there, I can't remember specifically, but I remember there was a moment where I was like, okay, there he's drawn the line. Maybe he killed someone or, I don't remember. It's been too long. But the thing, the weird thing that stands out from for me for Point Break is the scene where Keanu is in bed with the lady.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like.
Lori Petty.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. He's just kind of like running his hand up and down her back mm-hmm. in a very like familiar, caring sort of motion. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, that is a really good, and it just kind of like sits on it for a little while.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that singular moment in that movie makes his character for me, I think. That's just like, awesome. Oh, you're like you're a human being. Like,
yeah, and yeah. It helps that it's Keanu.
Well, Keanu. Like,
love you, Keanu. Keanu.
I love Keanu.
Love you.
It's true. Kyle Lee brought up the idea that these are sort of wish fulfillment scenarios, these movies. Like Robin Hood writ large, like everybody daydreams about like knocking over a bank, like pulling off a heist, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
From
you
so,
do.
So, yeah.
I know that you do. Like every time you go into a bank, you're probably chasing the plate.
No. That's why movies and video games are the best.
Right, right.
Because we can live in these fake worlds.
I do want to ask you, though, Hubert. Let's say it came to it.
Yeah.
And you had to plan a heist.
Dude.
What sort of heist would you plan?
It'd be a smash and grab bank robbery. Those
really?
Are my absolute favorites.
Smash and grab.
Like, barely any planning. Go in loud. Fire a couple shots in the air. Put the money in the bag.
Yeah. That's how you wind up in a Dog Day Afternoon situation.
Yeah,
where
that's
you just,
how. That, and you'll get caught. Like,
yeah.
Or
you're
die.
Screwed.
Yeah,
you're screwed.
But I always get a kick out of those ones.
Yeah. I would want to plan like a puzzle heist, like Inside Man or something where it's like a conundrum for anyone to solve it. And like, you just get away cause no one knows what the hell happened.
Yeah.
To me, those are the best heists where
they open the vault and all the money
and everything is there. Or no, well, I like both. I like where they just open it and they're like, wait, what happened? Everything's gone. Or when they know they've been robbed, but they're not sure what was taken.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wait, the money's still here. What did they do? Like,
yeah. I think they do that in Sexy Beast. It's been a while.
Yeah, I need to see it again.
I know they're doing like safety deposit boxes.
Yeah. Stuff that you can't track.
Yeah.
I would want to throw a heist like that, like Inside Man or something. I don't know if I have the planning gravitas or whatever to pull it off.
Let's
plan a fake heist. We could do an episode, like a heist episode.
That's why Hell or High Water is so great, because the quote-unquote villains, you know, Ben Foster and Chris Pine, are doing bad things, robbing banks, but
they have differing ideologies.
They have differing ideologies, and they're, like, backed into a corner, you know? It, like, it gets me emotional, because their family is sick, and they're out of money, and, like, they're backed into a wall. It's...
Well, and also, like...
It's intense.
God, the motivations in that movie are some of the best.
Yeah.
Like, the one dude is not doing it for himself.
Yeah.
The other one's doing it because he loves his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, then their conflicting ideologies, like, leads them down their paths, and the choices that are made toward the end are just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
God, that's a good movie.
Heavy.
Watch
everything Taylor Sheridan does.
Yeah.
He's doing Yellowstone right now.
What's that?
New Western show.
Oh.
Already got picked up for season 2.
What?
Kevin Costner.
He's writing it?
Wrote and directed all of it.
What?
Yep.
On what channel?
Paramount Network.
What the hell?
Don't even have the channel. I just bought it on Amazon. It was like $20 for the season.
Huh. And it was good.
Yeah.
Well, I like Tyler Sheridan.
Yeah. I'm not fully done with it yet.
Did he have anything to do with Sicario 2? I never saw Sicario 2.
Wrote it.
Was it good? Did you see it?
I liked it. I really liked it.
I got to see it.
I didn't like it as much as number 1, obviously.
Well, obviously.
But I really liked it.
Oh, Sicario is so good.
Yeah, 2 is good.
All right. Last thing.
Cool.
Last thing's here. Chris LaRue, I asked if anyone else had any ideas of just kind of topics that I didn't ask about. Mm-hmm. Chris LaRue wants to hear our thoughts about films, heist films that bleed into other genres, such as Mission Impossible, one, spy genre, but definitely they pull a heist, and Rogue One, which has heist elements.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I'm all about mashups in any form.
Totally.
And I like movies that kind of defy genre classification, or like you look on IMDb or like in the rental store back in the 90s or whatever, where it's like under like four different descriptors or like six different genres, or
yeah.
This is a romantic horror heist thriller comedy spy movie. Yeah.
I definitely think of Dark Knight and even Dark Knight Rises, you know, Wall Street.
You shut up.
Like the Rises the stock, terrible. The stock exchange or whatever. Time to go yeah, mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
When Gotham is an ashes.
Fire. I love it, dude. I don't want to hear it.
You know it's a great mashup that you're gonna totally love?
Huh.
Amazon's Patriot.
Patriot, I gotta watch it. Even in the beginning of Dark Knight Rises. Kind of, it's got qualities of a heist when they, with a Littlefinger and stuff, and they blow up the plane.
Oh, yeah, capture the plane in half.
They're stealing the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good scene.
Yeah.
IMAX. Just scope.
The movie's a rehash of an origin. Like, we don't need it. It's the third movie. It should be Mad Max Fury Road. The third
Batman
should have been nonstop insanity.
It would have had
Heath Ledger.
It would have had Joker.
Yeah, obviously, which is a tragedy.
Very tragic.
I'm still upset. But, like,
love you, Heath Ledger.
Miss you,
Heath. Knight's Tale hype.
Dude, I love Knight's Tale. So I don't care
good.
What anybody says.
Brokeback Mountain hype.
I like 10 oh. Things I Hate About You.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't
all
care.
Of it.
I
all
don't
of it.
Care.
Yeah,
I
all
like
tens.
Them.
I agree.
Knight's Tale is good fun.
Yep. Brokeback Mountain hurts my soul.
Yeah, I've never watched that one because I just know. Ugh. I know I'm just going to be so sad after I watch it. So I'm just like,
soul crushing.
I don't
soul
need
crushing.
This. Last one, Morgan Mihala talks about the audience fake out, which I sort of brought up earlier, but I got the idea from
talking about
from
Inside Man.
Yeah, I just love that. I love any movie because, like, most of the time they don't do it very well and you see it coming. I could think of like a few scenarios in movies where I'm just like,
Inside Man, were you
Inside Man was a good one. I mean, the biggest one, honestly, not a heist movie, but Spider-Man Homecoming. There was a moment in that where I was just like,
oh, the door open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh! Yep. I was like, oh, damn!
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
But yeah.
I saw it twice, and the second time in the theater, I was waiting for that moment, and I was kind of just like looking around, and like when it happened, I just saw like everyone just in their seats.
Yeah, I was like, Also, it's just cool for like eight reasons, but like, yeah, that's a good movie, man. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have high hopes for Venom.
Oh, I do.
I think it'll be like
Tom Hardy
fun,
is a Venom
hopefully.
Enthusiast. You know that, right?
I've heard. I think you told me that.
Yeah, and it's
I mean, I think
James
it'll be
Mangold
fun.
Too?
I just hope it's good. I don't know.
Great
director.
Yeah,
what else has he done?
Logan, right?
He did Logan?
I think so.
What?
Yeah.
This
fact
we
check.
Have to verify right
Let's
now.
Fact check it.
We're fact checking.
We're
it.
Fact
Hang
checking.
On. Stall for time, Huber.
Pretty sure it's rated R as well, right?
Did that come out? When we, oh, also.
I just, know they're going for it.
I'm super stoked about Captain Picard coming back. Just quick
aside. I unfortunately know next to nil about Star Trek, but I'm so hyped and happy because everyone seems hyped and happy about it.
Dude,
Star Trek fans.
Next Generation
yeah.
is one of my favorite things of all time. Of all time.
So cool.
The episode, I want you'd probably have to have a couple of little primer episodes just okay. so you know who everyone is.
How
kind
many?
Of. The episode Inner Light
mm-hmm.
of Star Trek The Next Generation
yeah.
is one of the best. It's like San Junipero levels
I was gonna,
of like
I was gonna
yeah,
go
yeah,
there.
Of like just brilliantly made
okay.
hour television.
How
it
many episodes
so
of Next Generation are there? More than 200?
Yeah, well, there were 7 years of it, I think. There was a weird trend where like Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, they all went for 7 seasons.
Okay.
7 years?
So like 150-ish?
I mean, it's a lot. Okay. I don't know that number off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But
maybe I'll do it. Is it Mangold?
The director is Ruben Fleischer.
Ruben Fleischer. That's right.
Zombieland. Gangster
okay.
Squad.
What is Mangold doing?
James Mangold?
Yeah.
Producer, director of Logan.
What's next on getting all my wires crossed?
Doing a lot of TV, looks like.
Director.
Oh, that's as a producer. Let's see. Director. Oh.
Something
Ford
huge.
Versus Ferrari, 2019. No. Untitled Star Wars Boba Fett project.
Yeah.
And then Crenshaw.
Okay. Maybe I was thinking the Star Wars. I'm trying to get all my
superhero. Dude directed Girl Interrupted?
Love
Weird.
Girl Interrupted.
310 to Yuma? Night
Love
and Day?
310
Who is
to
this
Yuma.
Guy?
Love Night and Day.
Identity? What a bizarre career you've had, James Mangold. Okay, quote challenge. You got any?
Wait, is Venom rated R?
I don't know. Damn it, Huber. Stall for time.
Venom. Needs to be rated R.
When I cut the interview that they did at MTV for Comic-Con, mm-hmm. which was a very fun experience, I met Doctor Who, didn't successfully take a picture with her.
Yeah.
I screwed up on my camera.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get another one, but she was talking to Jude Law and Eddie Redmayne, and I was like, all so right, intense. I'll just not go over there. Yeah. Just crazy.
That's so
a big couple of days, but they were there. And at that time, they were waiting for the rating to come through.
Mm.
I'm not seeing a rating on here currently. Maybe it hasn't come through yet.
All right. I'll tell you right now, if Venom's rated R, my hype is a 10 out of 10. If it's PG-13, my hype's like a 7 or an 8 out of 10.
Let's just Google Venom rating.
They're going for an R.
Will reportedly be rated R. This is from June, though, so they don't know yet. I think we don't know yet.
Cool.
Which means they might have to be, like, shaving it or pushing it, which could mean either way.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think it's a bold move. Like,
I just worry
I like when they go there, and, like, hearing the Venom voice narrating is so intense.
Yeah. I just worry that they're muddying the waters again. Like, the MCU is finally kind of, like, coagulating.
Yeah.
And especially now that they're buying Fox, it's, like, all going to kind of, like, finally gel together.
Yeah.
And they had that deal with Spider-Man, and now they're, like, making their own adjunct Spider-Verse, you know? And I'm kind of like,
After Avengers 4, I'm open for whatever, you know?
The Skrull. So. Skrulls. All right.
Fury, dude. Such a Skrull. Guaranteed.
Is that one of the... Oh, Nick Fury? You think Nick Fury? But he... The thing happened.
Yeah, the Skrulls wouldn't be immune to
that. Oh, yeah,
I
suppose you're right. You're right. You're right. That's true.
Captain Marvel, dude. I'm ready.
I love talking in circles around
spoilers
for Infinity War. Yeah. It's so funny to me.
I feel like everyone has
seen
it.
I just think it's funny to keep up the ruse where it's like, well, yeah, but the thing.
Yeah.
The thing, you know.
Can't spoil the thing.
Can't talk about the thing. Don't even look at me. All right, quote challenge. You got a quote?
I don't have any quotes.
Let me think of one. You look far from home.
Gotham.
Got it.
Gotham. I feel like I had it.
Did you have one? But no. I don't have one either.
I got one.
All right, hit me.
Ermintrout. Security consultant.
Well, it's either Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. What? No, wait.
No, which one?
Oh, Better Call Saul.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
I remember seeing something where someone was named Ermintrout, and I was like, is that a reference?
Like Ermintrout. One of the greats. One of the all-time greats. Love that character.
I do love that character.
He is like the epitome of what I love. Like the exact archetype. Old, professional, like fixer slash robber killer.
Yeah.
You know, old veteran looking for redemption, trying to help his grand. It's just the best.
Granddaughter. And his daughter, like, doesn't talk to him, right? Like, or she had difficult.
It goes into his whole backstory. But I saw a lot of that stuff. He used to be a cop.
Oh, whoa.
Like in Detroit, I think.
Dang.
Corruption.
That explains his skill set.
Dude. Watch Better Call Saul, I promise. I'll watch Patriot.
Watch Patriot.
I'm doing it.
Okay. It's a bigger ask. Better Call Saul is longer.
It is. But it's...
I can't think of a quote.
It's okay. Time to go mobile. Time to go mobile.
What's that from?
Tom Hardy's great.
Tom Hardy.
Such a good actor. Have you seen Peaky Blinders?
I saw like the first couple episodes.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's in there.
Is he?
Yep. Him and Cillian Murphy, a little Scarecrow Bane reunion.
Oh. Yeah. Tom Hardy's in that?
Yeah.
I never finished Taboo either.
Me either. I watched first two. I liked it.
I haven't watched like, the last episode. Yeah.
Need to watch The Terror. Heard that's great.
The Terror, yeah. I have that. I haven't watched it yet.
It's just so much. It's impossible to keep up. The tidal wave of games and now TV is happening. All the shows are coming back.
All the shows. Here's a quote. We got separated.
Raising Arizona.
No.
Ghostbusters.
No.
I don't know.
Star Wars. think Empire Strikes Back.
Oh
or
my God.
New Hope. No, it might be Jedi.
We got separated.
One of the original. Yeah, we got separated.
Okay.
No, it's Jedi. Yeah, it's Jedi, I think. We got separated. Gotta get your dip tats. You know what that's from?
Ghostbusters.
No.
I don't know.
You just said it. The other one.
Oh, Raising Arizona. Yeah, yeah, you said it earlier too.
Gotta get your dip tats.
Yeah.
Hun. Anyways, thank you everyone so much.
That was fun.
Heist movies, Hubie.
So great.
What's your favorite heist movie of all time? Is it Heat?
Man.
Feeling the heat in here.
Heat.
Right,
I think Heat might be the best. But my favorite?
Yeah.
It might be Heat. It's just got a scope to it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's a big movie. It's an epic. Like, Heat is epic.
Of the school of epics that were of that time, I think. It's definitely got that time period kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
If we're counting Die Hard, I might say that.
Yeah, if we're counting Die Hard, obviously.
Counting Die Hard. Yeah. But yeah, man. Oh, they're all really fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for watching or listening. We are Ian Hink and Michael Huber. We are Easy Allies. Well, us and
seven
other guys.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Us and seven other guys.
Yeah, me and nine other guys.
Is that Oceans?
Big Lebowski.
Okay.
But anyway, detective films, dude. Next month's theme, detective films.
Boom. Done.
Boom. Detective
Lock
films.
Lock it in.
Lock it in. Watch The Big Lebowski.
A lot of good ones. And speaking of
Rafifi. I love Chinatown, but it's problematic because of the director, but.
Speaking of Rafifi, he also did Asphalt Jungle.
Oh.
Which is a classic.
Yeah.
Asphalt Jungle is one of the very, 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 very first films ever to shoot on location with actual workers of the role. So
wow.
If like someone was a newspaper, they'd actually get a newspaper guy to do it.
Huh.
You know, good movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who? Why didn't we think of this before? anyway, patreon.com/easyallies. If you're in the $7 and up tier, you are in the Easy Allies Film Club, and you get access to our favorite films lists, which we should probably update one of these days.
Yeah. Haven't done a commentary
done a commentary in a million years. They just take so much time.
Yeah.
And it's way too hot in here, honestly. It's just way too hot in here.
Yeah.
And you get this show early, both video and audio, and you get to take part in the discussion topics, which are very fun. So check that out. I'm doing like an NPR voice right now.
I know. I've been doing that for Huber syndrome.
Yeah.
I haven't even really thought about it.
Yeah.
Just kind of this style of
yeah.
speaking. Like, where did this come from? Was it just trying
just
to be smooth on the radio?
Just trying to be smooth on the radio. And having, like, you don't want to be too loud. You want to be listenable and good diction, but you don't need to
yeah.
shout. You know, microphones are sensitive, like people.
Yes.
Yes. So, yes, this has been Reaction Shots for the month of August 2018. We discussed heist films.
Mm-hmm.
And next month we will discuss detective films. So I hope that you like those. Please join us on easyallies.com, youtube.com/easyallies, Twitter, Twitch, everything, patreon.com/easyallies. I'm Ian Hink.
I'm Michael Huber.
Thank you very much. Good night.